Wonderful Jesus, Savior, mighty God, everlasting Father. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for today, even as we gather, Lord. We are here for a purpose, O Lord. To examine ourselves together in thy presence. As it was in the days of Job, when the sons of God gathered together before you. To give you the honor, to worship you, and to give you all the praise and the glory. We thank you. We are here today, Lord Jesus, just doing the same. But thou art the everlasting God. We praise you, Lord. We bless thee. We ask the Father, your presence be here with us now.
Yes, Lord.
And open our understanding to thy word. Stir within us, O Lord, a flame of understanding, of limb of revelation as to the truth that you have for us in this last day. Ask you for your blessing right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now I want you to go to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 16. And I'll read from verse 1 to 28. Now we are very well, we say that we are all pretty much acquainted with this this word, or this passage, or this chapter here rather. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desire that he will show them a sign from heaven. And that's the problem we already see. If we're not careful, we can be behaving just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Every time in the law we want to see something, we want to see a sign, we want this, we want that. That's kind of man. And he answered himself to them, when it is evening, you said it is fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. All you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the time? All that we do, that's what Jesus right now here saying, this one, to be able to discern the sign of the time. And you know what time we are living in now? Did you see the signs of the time that we are in? You should be able to. You have been long in the message. Alright? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after the sign, and there shall be no sign given unto them but the sign of the prophet Jonah, and he left them and departed. And that's the thing about our Lord Jesus Christ. They are the people ask for this and ask for that, and he just gives them a word and no sign, nothing. But at the same time, he just asks a question and he walks off. And let the people just go figure it out and let their mind be twisted up with their own presumption. And when the disciples will come together to the other side, they have forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, interestingly, you know, the disciples were, you know, were always, most of the time, with Jesus Christ. So here, the disciples went with Jesus Christ to the other side. And the Bible here said they have forgotten to take bread except for one loaf. Only they had one loaf of bread with them. Do you know? How do I know, Brother Grant? How do you know the Bible didn't say that? Well, you can find it in the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 14. You're not going to turn to it. And then Jesus said, well, my mom said, we didn't bring bread, you know. One of them had bread, one of the loaf, that's about it. And here there are 12 disciples, how do you expect one loaf for 12? Anyway. So they said, we didn't bring enough bread, or we don't have bread with us, we forgot to carry. And then Jesus just, I know the strange thing about Jesus Christ is that sometimes he just interjects some statement. And then people just wonder, what are you talking about? You know. You ever wonder like that? Sometimes I do, especially with my wife, when we're discussing something, she says something out of the blue, I'm trying to figure out what she was saying. Or when I say something and she's trying to figure out what I'm saying. And I think maybe that's why we have problem with communication. Huh? We don't stick to our topic or our thoughts anyway. So Jesus Christ said that, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the disciples reason among themselves saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, oh, ye of little faith. Why reason ye among yourselves, because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000s and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, all of this, and of the Sadducees? So, essentially, when you see our mind just like this, it's just like Nicodemus. You know, when Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ by night, wanted to know how to get into eternal life. And Jesus Christ, he must be born again. Huh! Born again! Oh, how could that be? How could I go back to my mother's womb, you know? You see, the mind will think spiritually. That's the one thing about the way that the Bible is written, the way that Jesus spoke, the way that the prophets spoke. You know, they speak in mysterious way. God intended to do that because why? So that people who read, people who hear in the plain language, they will not understand, because the Word of God is hidden in a mystery form. And that's for you, the reason why, for you to dig into it, for you to have a revelation. Alright? So now, so John was saying, how is it when I talk about bread, you only think about natural bread? Okay. But to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Then they understood how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, Philippi, you know this Caesarea, that's the way I think the American pronounce it.
Caesarea.
But in the Greek, it's Caesarea. So that's a lot different. And I was reading the paper today about the spelling contest they have among the school. Huh? And one of the young men, 12 years old, was asked how to spell, I can't remember what it was, a parasitia, something like that. And he spelled with a C-E. And the judge said, that's wrong. But he stood for him and said, I believe I'm right. There is another form of spelling this word. The judge said, no, it's wrong. So they thought to consult all the other dictionary, the Webster, American Webster dictionary, and true enough, he was right. You see? So, you know, words, you pronounce certain words, but it comes out to be, you know, spelled in a different way. Huh? When I was young, I don't know what laundry is. I thought laundry is lingerie. You know how lingerie is, how you spell lingerie is lingerie. Because what they absorb from the French, they absorb from the Spanish, they absorb from the African. You know, like cucumber is not called cucumber in Africa, it's called cucumba. Cucumba. You know what? Cucumber. You see, the plant of cucumber. So you see how different it is. Okay, so where were we reading? Well, I guess it doesn't matter how we pronounce it. Well, you ought to pronounce it in English, American, or Greek anyway. Alright, we know that Jesus' name is not Jesus. Is that right? His Hebrew name is Yeshua. Well, in Greek it's Ishurs. So it's a different pronunciation. Alright. Huh? In our Chinese, Yesu, Yasuo. Right, so you see, as long as you understand who we are referring to. Alright. So we have that now in verse 30. When Jesus came into the court of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto you, that upon this, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heavens, and whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus of the Christ. Now, my little thought today here is entitled, Have You a Revelation from God? Have you a revelation from God? Here's the question. Here was this incident here. You know, the disciples, they were learning. And one thing for sure, every one of us are learning. And we are still learning. No matter how many years you have been a Christian in the faith, you are still learning. If you stop learning, the day you stop learning, you die. Believe me. You know? That's why our Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew, he doesn't stop learning. He's already in his 90s. And he's still reading. And because in this mind, you need to keep active. Not just for the physical man, but the spiritual man for us. We need to get this mind renewed by the Word of God. So here Jesus was with the disciples, they were with him. And you know, they were with him when the Pharisees came and asked him for a sign. They were there listening to how Jesus Christ answered the question. And then when they walk away to another place, now they talk about bread, and Jesus just mentioned about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and they could not understand about this bread thing. But Jesus is teaching them a little by little. So by the time when Jesus explained about that, then they understand, oh, okay, it was the leaven of the Pharisees, talking about the doctrines. Right, it's not natural leavening, the spiritual leavening. And you all know and I, we know. In fact, Brother Branham, many times when he came, if you listen to when he preached, many times he would interject something here and there, and that made a whole lot of sense. You know, I remember when he said that the spirit of spiritual fornication is the same spirit of fornication that get a man and a woman to commit it physically. It's the same spirit. They do it both ways. A physical act or a spiritual act. You see. Because it's just a spirit. It works in the mind of a person and the spirit and the soul of a person to commit physical fornication. The same spirit will do it in the mind and the soul and the spirit of a believer to commit fornication against the Word of God. You see. So now whatever. Sitting together, then Jesus asked the disciples, all right now. I mean, they were all alone. Jesus and the disciples, tell me now, what do the men out there think of me? What have you heard? I mean, after all, they were fishermen, they were carpenters, or whatever they were doing, you know. So they were walking among the common people where they lived, they hear all kinds of things being said. You know. And so Jesus asked them, what do men say? And they said, well, some say you are John the Baptist, some you are Jeremiah, this prophet, that prophet. Okie dokie. That's what they said. All right. Now, what do you say about me? And that's one good question. And this is the question that every man on this earth must face. Yes. You need to know who Jesus is. Who do you think that? Who do you say I am then? Now, the disciples have been with Jesus for quite some time now, and they're still trying to figure it out. They saw him perform miracles, healing the sick, open blind eyes, and so forth. They're watching. They know that when Messiah comes, he will do all these things, right? Sure. You know. But now they were faced with a question. What happened? It seems that it doesn't ring a bell in their head, in their mind. Right? They know that when Messiah comes, he will perform these things. You know, is that not true? Yes. But yet, when they were asked the question, they have not yet received the revelation. They couldn't understand. How did God disciples want to look at each other and try to figure that out? I don't know how long the time passes before Peter stood up and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. All of a sudden he got the answer. All of a sudden he got the revelation. And Jesus Christ said, Peter, you know, flesh and blood have not revealed to you. What is this flesh and blood? Flesh and blood have not revealed to you. Not because, Peter, you are from a tribe of Israel. You are born Israel. You are Jew. It doesn't mean that you know who I am. And the same thing with family life. Just because a father, mother, they are Christian, it doesn't mean that the children will all be Christian. Huh? Do you understand? Yes. Because why? Spiritual life is not genetic. You understand? All your other characters are, my father, mother is a Catholic, grandfather is a Catholic, so I'm born a Catholic, so I die a Catholic. Right? Sister Aggie here, she was a Catholic. She's not going to die a Catholic. How about you, Sister Lucy? Dang, the same thing, huh? That's only all these talks about this brainwashing. You know, you need to know the truth. And Peter stood up and said that Jesus Christ said, not because you were a Jew. Huh? Not because you can claim Abraham is your father. Not because you can claim all the prophets that God sent to Israel, that you know who I am. Not because your father was a Jew or grandfather was a Jew, therefore you know who I am. Flesh and blood, I'm not revealed to you. But my Father in heaven, He has given it to you. So the question right now, have you a revelation from God? This is very important. And you know what? For revelation to start coming forth into your life, this is the basis. This is the starting point. You need to know who Jesus is. The moment you know who Jesus is, then you must realize that you are a sinner. Because He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. If you can say Christ, Jesus the Christ is the Savior, then you realize that He's the Savior, you must be a sinner. You see? That's why it takes so, you know, but I'm glad that the disciples, they were not Pharisees, they were not theologians. They were not scribes, they were, you know. At least they can learn. And you know why it is true that Jesus can say, now you don't tell no man who I am. Okay. But there's always a reason why Jesus tell them not to tell anybody. Even when the vision that they saw in the Mount transpired, don't tell nobody. It is all kept until such time for it to be revealed. Because there were people who would not accept. And some people would accept, but they will be a true people. They say, oh, okay, here's the Messiah, here's this. We'll come and see what you have. Heal us, touch us, this and that. You know, Jesus Christ, when he do his ministry, when he did his ministry, he doesn't do it haphazardly. There'll be time that he will preach and he did no healing. Correct? Because why? Everything that he do must come from God. He said, I, the Son of Man, cannot do anything except what I see my Father do. That means that he received the revelation from God, he sees the vision from God to know where to go and what to do. Who? For example, that the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. He told the disciples, I need to go to Samaria. Why? Because my father told me that there is a woman at the well. That's the Eli. I need to meet her. Do you understand that? So God will always, as you and I know, from the study of the Bible, that God has given His life to Jesus. And Christ has given that life to you and me. There is a flow from the Father to the Son to the Bride, or to the members of the family of God. That's how God works. You see? That's what Jesus said, hitherto my Father worked, now I work. When He said that. Do you understand? Yes. So hitherto our Father worked, our Savior worked, now we work. The body of Christ must work. You see. So you need to see how that revelation flows. Do you understand that? Okay? So, have you a revelation from God? Interesting about this thing. We know that our ministry here, I wonder, back then, you know, after we were accused of, by that other church, that we are trying to confuse the people, when our publication, we went out, we put the publication, the spoken word. You know, I print a little booklet at the time, we call it the spoken word. Because I know the power of the spoken word. I had the revelation of what it was supposed to do. But they were accusing us of that, and so Brother Roy Border of the Voice of God, at that time it's called the Spoken Word Publication, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's what they call now, I forgot. He approached me and he asked me personally, when he was in Singapore for the meeting, and he told me, Mr. Bergen, you know, there is a little bit of something I need to tell you. Some people brought this accusation that you print a little booklet with the word, the spoken word, and you're trying to confuse the people. You know, and could you sort of change your name, the title of your publication? And then I talked to Brother Roy, and I said, yes, brother, I understand what you're saying now. I said, but you know, brother, that's not my intention. You know, I said, he said, I know about that. I know. He said, because I showed it to him, and you can see that the way that we put the spoken word in, you know, the way that the spoken word printed their books different. And I said, no problem, brother. I said, I will do just that. When I went back, I was thinking and praying and said, what do I need to call this publication that we have? You know, so it was in my mind, I was praying about that, and then I felt the voice of God told me, he said, use this title, Prophetic Revelation. So the moment when we changed that, we print our first magazine, and you know what? The following Sunday, you know, usually Sunday they have all these articles, and there was a full page, almost a full page article in the newspaper. And you know the title of that article? What is Prophetic Revelation? So, wow, I said, look at that. What is Prophetic Revelation? This journalist was writing an article, so I read it. And he was talking about, you know, the Old Testament time, how the God's, revelation and oracles, you know, came to the people of Israel through prophets. You know, I said, oh my, I said, that's a nice article. You know, and then I was wondering several years ago, why did I not call it Apostolic Revelation? You understand? Because after all, the apostle is the one that goes in the Old Testament and dig it up. Right? But the apostle doctrine, I was thinking, Apostolic Revelation is not quite good at a title, because why? It's an apostolic foundation that we are settling down. So I realized the apostle, now you look at the Holy City, New Jerusalem. How many foundations do you have in that building? The Holy City, New Jerusalem. How many foundations? How many? Come on, don't tell me you do not know. Shame on you. How many foundations? No, how many foundations out there in this holy city? And we know there is only one foundation, it's Christ, but there are foundations. How many? 12. They are the apostolic foundation. How many gates are there? How many gates? How many gates? Gates. 12 gates. 12 gates, 12 foundations. Huh? So what are these gates represent, and what are the foundations represent? The gates, you know the gates is the go in and out, where people go in and out. So the gates represent the 12 tribes, the 12 patriarchs, through whom the oracles of God comes to the people. Huh? They are the gates. Okay? And it is the apostles that took these oracles and brought out the foundation and laid it. Do you understand? True. We know that in the Old Testament prophets, they prophesied, they bring out a lot of mysterious word or teaching of God in a mysterious form. So a lot of people still couldn't understand. And that's the reason why the day when John the Baptist came, Christ came, the people still are in tradition because they do not know and understand the prophets. Though there were revelation to the prophet, to the people, they do not get it, they do not understand. You see. Until Jesus came and preached the gospel and said that when the Holy Spirit is come, he will guide you and lead you into all truth. Those were the revelation of the prophets. But it takes the disciple as apostle to set those things in order and put down on a foundation, a proper foundation for the church. Do you see? So, what is so important about this this various revelation that God gave to the people of Israel, and which of course came to us. Alright, let's go to the book of John chapter 4. Alright, John chapter 4. And verse 32. In the meanwhile, or 31, we will say, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not what, know not of. Therefore said the disciple one to another, Have any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Now, Jesus had received a revelation from God regarding his own duty to perform, the work that he must do. Now, revelation of God is not only concerning the truth of God as to doctrine and teaching, but the truth of God concerning you yourself. Huh? What is your place in the body of Christ? That's the revelation you need to know also. Because when you talk, have you a revelation from God? You don't only just have one revelation, it's just a revelation, there are many. Huh? But depending on what God wants to show it to you. Revelation is not just about knowing who Christ is. But you also need to know about revelation of truth in the Bible. Revelation as presenting to you, yourself, as being a member of the body of Christ. What is your place in the body? And if you do not know your place in the body, then you are lost. That's the reason why in the fivefold ministry, evangelists cannot be an apostle. Right? We all know that. You see, a pastor must do his job and stay in his church and take care of the flock. Evangelist's way is to go out there, evangelize, bring the good news to the people. The brother Tony, he couldn't do it over there in Malawi. He's doing his job very well. Established many churches out there, and when he goes up to the various country sites, you know, to preach the villages there. You see. And the brother James Merrill, brother Nice will go there, and other brothers will go under to help establish the church and, you know, get them to grow in the faith. So we need to understand that revelation is not just about truth. It's about ourselves too. So Jesus Christ said, I've eaten food that you do not know of. You know, when the disciples brought him food. And the food that, as Jesus explained it, he said, my meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. Now, what is God's will in your life? What is God's will in your life? That must be a revelation that you should know. You say, I'm not a minister. Why would I worry? No, you did not have to be a minister. The little finger, the little pinky here, do not have to be the head. It doesn't have to be the eye. But it has its purpose. Huh? Isn't it so? So every member of the body of Christ have a place. And if we do not stand to do what we should do and contribute to the body, then you have failed to understand the revelation concerning you that God wants you to do. And remember, we all have a work to do. Remember I said that? He does to our Father work, he does to us our Savior work. Now we work. We must stay active. What we can contribute to the body of Christ, what we can do to serve the body of Christ. How can we get the rapture to come quickly unless you bring in the last Eli? We do our job. Alright? Do you understand that? Alright. We go to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. And verse 28. we look at this from verse 21. Now Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word, and his supper came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cried after us. And he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, True, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto the woman, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from the very hour. Now, what is recorded in the Bible, a ministry of Christ, you need to take notice that, first of all, when Jesus came, his purpose was to look for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not for the Gentiles. Okay? Now you say, oh, that's not fair. God loved the Jew more than he loved the Gentile. But that's probably true. Because when he chose the Israel, alright, he made them his people. And when he made them his people, they have to carry out his command. Right? The Gentiles do not have to. So they are free people. They do whatever they want. So which one do you prefer? Now that you are a Christian, many of you complain. When you are a Christian, you are subject to the law of God. Is that not right? You are subject to the spirit of the law of God. That's why you see which is better. Some people say, oh, you Christians have to do this, keep long hair, wear the skirt, and boy, you know, man cannot do this, cannot do that, you have no freedom. I'm not a Christian, I can do what I want. Sure, you can do what you want. Because you're right. Because you're not born again, you're not subject to the word of God. Because once I am a child of God, I have to come under the law of God. Is that right? And you and I know, I think, every one of you, you know, anyway, we all came from a family. Huh? Or those who are old, all come from a family. We live under our father and mother, and those of you who are young now, you live under your father and mother as well. Okay? And you know in every family, there is always rules and regulations. Is that alright? Correct? Right? Christy? Yes, sir. Yes. Joshua, is that right? Yes. There are rules and regulations. Until you are old enough to get a key to go wherever you want to do. Maybe your father was. As long as you live in the house, there are rules and regulations. My son's still in my home. That's still rules and regulations in my home. Obviously, huh? If not, then what? If you have four children in the home, everybody do what they like, no, there's no rule regulation? Huh? You just imagine how chaos will the family be. A child come home, throw his bag in one corner, throw his shoe in another corner, and then take his badminton racket and then go off play badminton, and the other one come home with a basketball, throw his basketball here and there. The whole house become a mess. Huh? Take a bath, throw all, you know, the soil grow in one place, instead of the laundry basket. What, your mom, your father is a servant? Or maybe you have a domestic servant to help you. That's not the way. There are always rules and regulations in the family. So it's the same thing in the family of God. There are always rules and regulations that we obey. So here, okay, Christ came. Here was this Canaanite woman. Oh, have mercy on me. My child is vexed to demon. You know, and the disciples know, they knew that this was a Canaanite woman. You know, and they chase her away. Lord, chase her away. And that's what Jesus said, you know, he said, I'm sent not to anyone but to the lordship of the house of Israel. But she came. She would not put up by what Jesus said. You know what I mean? Because she had the revelation. That's what makes it so interesting. She had the revelation of so many Jews in Israel. None of them, many of them don't even recognize who Jesus was. But here was this woman who heard the news about, oh, there was this man and all this. Wait a minute. Say, huh? Truly. Even though she was a Canaanite, she was not a Jew. She must have heard about all this thing about the God of Israel. They are still alive. And we are Gentiles. Though we are not Canada, we are Singaporean, we are Indian, we are whatever we are, Filipino, all this. But we have a revelation. Isn't it right? And she had a revelation. She went and worshiped Christ no matter what. And know what Jesus said? He said, oh, you know, it is not meet for me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. There was a, you know, oh my, sometimes I don't know, the way Jesus spoke of things like that sometimes sounds so terrible. Very sarcastic. Very crude, huh? You know, he's speaking to a woman! A woman! Jesus Christ was not a gentleman. He isn't a gentleman. You know what here was? This woman, you know, I don't know how old she is. She probably could be in her 30s or I don't know how many children she probably have. I mean, she might be maybe 40 or, you know. She came to worship Jesus. And Jesus said down there, oh, you know, it's not right that we take the bread from a table and cast it to dogs. Why would we talk like that? Huh? You understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You find someone, you are out there in the restaurant eating on the roadside. You order something. Here come a beggar asking for a piece of bread. You have some nice pieces of bread on your table. I know, beggar, now you look there. No, I don't give it to dogs. What is it all? The beggar will be saying to you, why do you call me a dog? You know how they will react? Is that all right? Sure. People will react. You're calling me a dog? In Chinese, or look at what's the dog. You know how a Chinese expression, you call me a dog? So you might just manage, you know, told the woman just straightforward. And Jesus Christ, he was testing this woman. And that's why our faith many times will be tested as to our revelation. If you have a revelation, hold fast to it. Someday it must come. Huh? Either it's later or soon. Anyway, it must come. And the woman persisted. Huh? Jesus walked and he came on worship him. I'm not supposed to take the bread and cast it to dog. But the woman's reply was so sharp because she had this revelation about this man. And I said, oh, even the dog eat the crumb which fell on the master's table. You don't have to give me a piece of bread. Whatever is on the floor that you have, let me have it. Oh my. Think about it. If you were to say that to a beggar who comes to your table, I would not take him here a piece of bread. Now, there is on the floor, there are crumbs. Pick it up. You can have it. Of course, you will not. But if we know that what Jesus is saying, the woman understood. And Jesus said, wow, that's real faith. Even one little bit that you can have that drop from my mouth, you pick it up. Sure. And Jesus Christ just said a simple word. Great is your faith. And it shall be so as you believe. Go. And the child was healed. That's what revelation is all about. Persistent, you know it, move forward, hold on to it. If we don't have the revelation, I said we die. Now, when you're praying for something, for healing, whatever, just hold on to it. Because God said so, you have to be. You know, sometimes when we need the doctor, we go to the clinic or go to the emergency unit, we have to wait, huh? Correct? I mean, unless, of course, you go in the accident, you know, badly injured, of course, straight away you go to ER. And everybody, doctor and nurses will be rushing like mad dogs. But you may want to consult a doctor in the clinic, right? And you think you're in a bad shape. No, there were no physical signs. You still have to be patient. You may be watching your time, say, I've been here for half an hour, oh, I'm dying, quick. You still have to wait. And Christ and God sometimes is testing us, getting patient. If we don't have patience, then what does the Bible talk about? It said about patience. Huh? You know, patience is also godliness. you know. Yep. Singaporean need patience. Faster love, you know how the people in every place we go, you know, people all get jittered. And you can always watch very amusing in the queue. Everybody were looking at the queue. You know, you're in a line queue for your favorite food or ATM, whatever it is, and finally, I meet 20 people. It seems not to be moving. You are turning and look. What's going on out there? What's going on there, man? Huh? Isn't it? That's very true, you know. So the same thing of our Christian faith. We put this aside in our physical side. Look spiritually to how much patience we really have. And we need to have. Yeah, and it is so true that. Now, think about it when Jesus said about this dog issue. As I said earlier, if he give an example, he really talked to someone as a beggar who come and ask him for bread, he called him dog. What would he think? How would he react? And that's what we humans are. We are our worst enemy. Do you know that? So who is your worst enemy? It's not Satan, you know. The worst enemy is yourself. Oh, brother, in front. On Friday, testify. Yeah, brother, again, you know, last week, my mom and me, you know, we're home, we're kind of late, we're kind of tired, we don't feel like going to church, huh? Don't feel like feeling. But at least you said something good. At least we go sleep there, that's okay, we see what happened. And that's true. If you make an effort to go, no matter how tired you are, you make an effort to go, you form a habit. If you don't want to go, I'm tired. You're already defeated. And you will never come on Friday night. You're already defeated. One time, I'm tired. That's it. Second time, I want to go, I'm tired. Because why? Your mind already gave you a routine of brainwashing. I'm tired! It goes up, and it goes up, and it goes up, and you will be like that. Right? What do they think they say? I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. If somebody said, let us go to the house of the Lord, hey brother, I'm tired now. Then you're already defeated. You're already defeated. And you form a habit, and that is true, everything that we do, how can we just think about it? Especially mothers. That is very true. Wives, mother. You have to get up in the morning. You have to get up in the morning, prepare breakfast for your children, for your husband, whatever you have to do. You automatically get up. Is it not right? Yes, sir. And for those who are working in Singapore in the house, you know, domestic help, you're going to get up, right? You have to get up. No matter how tired, you have to get up. You have to work. What about your job? I'm feel so tired. Last night I had a party. Oh, I can't get up. They're so tired. I call my office and say, I'm calling home. I'm calling in sick. Maybe that's what you would do. No, I don't think so. You see, the revelation of who we are, what we are, what we want to be. What do you want to be? As a Christian, what do you want to be? To be what God wants you to be. That's what Jesus said. My will is to know, to do, my meat is to do the will of God. My food is to do the will of God. And that's the same with us. And you know, this, the assembly, the Bible calls it, do not forsake to assemble yourself together as often as you could. The assembly of ourselves is very important. Because we are a family of God, we need to examine ourselves as often as we could. Give support one to another. Exhort one another. Edify one another. Build up in the love of God. And looking for the mercy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's the revelation. You have to know who you are. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 16. 1 Corinthians 6 to 16. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. me speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Not yet the wisdom of this world, nor all the princes of this world that came to come to naught. How Paul said this, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. It means those that are mature. So you see, the mystery of God, the wisdom of God, can only be understood by those who are mature. And how do you in the first place be mature? How can you be mature if you are not going to look into the Word of God? You are not going to study the Word of God. Now, I want to turn to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Now, I want you to look at what Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says. And if God means business, if God means what He said and said what He meant, let us take heed. Alright? And not take things for granted. Okay? Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Now, watch carefully what the Word of God said. Okay? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Correct? Is it not true? When you lack knowledge, you are destroyed. And I said this before, knowledge is power. That's common saying. Knowledge is power. So consider the spiritual Word of God, spiritual knowledge of God's Word. It is also power. Look at the next part. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. See that? Because you have rejected my Word, my truth, my knowledge, I will also reject you. And he says what? That thou shalt be no priest to me. Do you know that we are the holy priesthood? Do you all remember that we are holy priesthood? Hello?
Amen.
And if you reject the Word of God, you are no longer priest. You cannot even minister before the Lord. See how it is? If you reject the Word of God, the knowledge of God's Word, you reject Him. If He knew what He said here. And only that is it. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget your children. That is, of course, talking about Israel's descendants. It wouldn't happen to us because we are all individual now as far as the gospel is concerned. But just take note of what God said. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, when my father lost his company because of his sickness, he was not able to run his shop. All his investment, they're all gone. When he was indulged in having to take drug and opium and just to ease off the pain. And you know what he told me one time when we were going to school and all that, and his friend, you know, struggling. It was my mom that put us through to the school. My father was trying to, to him, because of lack of money, he was telling me, he said, just finish a primary education and go to work. But it was my mom that put us all to secondary school. Now think about it. So if I had a primary school education, what do I do today? What has 6 years of education, what could he do for you? Right? You don't even have enough knowledge to know what you're doing. After all your primary school, you probably do some of the odd job thing, huh? And learn on the spot thing. Yeah, perhaps that's about what you do. So, the same with us as a Christian, as a believer of the Word of God. Is it enough for us to say, I know who God is, I know who Jesus is, I know that I'm a sinner, I know He's my Savior, I know about serpent seed, I know about one or a few other things. That's not enough. This life as a Christian is a continuous life. It doesn't end. Even when Jesus Christ came, it doesn't end. It goes all to beyond. Yeah. So, do you understand? the life of where we live never ends. Because eternal life already begins the day you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the day you are filled with His Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 3. First Corinthians 3, 1 to 3. And I, brethren, could not, I forgot to go back to 1 Corinthians 2, 6. 1 Corinthians 2, 6. How did we speak wisdom among them that are perfect? Yet not the wisdom of this world, not the princes of this world that come to know. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have neither have entered into the heart of man, the thing which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. But what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God no one knoweth man but the Spirit of God. For we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which thing also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yea, he himself is judge of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, so what Paul is talking about, the wisdom of God is only imparted to those who are matured to be able to receive. Right? The spirit of man, how would a man know about another man? It is because man would know man by their own spirit. But to know the thing of God, the spiritual thing of God, you need to know the Holy Spirit. So it's a spirit that is in us that knows the Spirit of God, as God revealed it to us. So right now what Paul began to say, the thing that we have received, the Spirit that we have received is not of the world. We have received the Spirit of God. And so if we have to receive the Spirit of God, we mind the things of God. And it's also over here in the last 30, which thing we speak also, not in the words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the hidden things of God are spiritual. So you have to compare it spiritual things with spiritual. The Word of God. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Of course, how can a carnal man know the truth of God? How can a carnal man knows the revelation of God? How can they ever receive the revelation of God? How can they ever know the wisdom and the mystery of God? Because why? They are carnally minded. That's the carnal man. So if we say that we are Christian, if we cannot understand the things of God, something is wrong somewhere. We must be carnally minded. And or else we are not matured. And the reason we are not matured is because we do not learn. We do not renew our mind in the Word of God and grow thereby. And then he says here, verse 16, for who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who have known the mind of God that he may instruct him? Until you are born again, you do not know the things of God, the Spirit of God, because you have not received His Spirit. But because we have received His Spirit, the next verse says, but we have the mind of Christ. So because you have the Spirit of Christ, then you have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, Christ can instruct you. Now, let me tell you something here. I know that we are sometimes still in this flesh. Okay? Now, sometimes you get upset with certain things that happen. Yeah, you say, let me give him a piece of my mind. How have you ever done that? Yeah. Correct? You got so upset, you say, let me give you a piece of my mind. Hey, better don't do that. Because after all, your mind is a mind of Christ. You're not going to give the part of your mind of Christ to him. You understand me? You understand me what I'm saying? How can you give a piece of the mind of Christ to a carnal man? So don't get upset. Do you understand? Sometimes we get all upset, we try to justify our action, and we get all upset and do things crazily. Verse chapter 3. And Abraham could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babe in Christ. That's the thing about it. And sometimes you cannot teach people deep things. But I have fed you with milk, not with meat. Hitherto you were not able to bear, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, division, are you not carnal and walk as men? So every time there is problem, it's because you're carnal. Hey, isn't that true? And you know that when people are sick, they go to look for all kinds of physicians. And when we are sick spiritually, what do we look for? Who do we look for? We look for the great physician. You know. Only the carnal man will go here and there as a problem that we see in the end time churches today. Philippians 4:3. Philippians chapter 4 verse 2. And I entreat thee through your power, help those whom are which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers, whose name and I entreat thee also through your fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers, whose name are in the book of life. So you see, Paul knew his word has a lot of effect upon the life of those who receive it. So much so that he knows these people, and he's so sure that their name is in the book of life. Do you see that? So truth has an effect. And I want to also say this, that we are not here for... Hello, what's his name? I forgot. Shh. Now, remember we are here in the church, not just to study doctrines and revelation, deep truth of God, and that's about it. Now, imagine a ladder. You know what a ladder is? It's made of two poles, parallel pole, right? Okay? And with rungs, maybe a foot apart, 12 inches apart. I'm not using CM because you have to go and figure out one inch is how many CM good. Alright? Just use a foot. So you have a ladder that goes parallel on two poles that goes up. In there you have these rungs that goes up. Now one thing is that when a lot of people, you know, like the brother I used to say, oh, when they come to not understand, not agreeing with my doctrines or teaching. Say, I'd rather have the right spirit than the right doctrine. You know, there's a famous saying, right? Let me tell you one thing. That's what the rung is. I mean, not the rung, what the ladder is like. These two parallel poles. One side of the pole is the final truth. I mean, that's what we all learn doctrine, right? Doctrine is the teaching of God, right? And you remember one thing, doctrines begin at Calvary. You must understand it. Because the moment you came face to face with the question, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Remember? Huh? And you know that Christ the Savior, he died on the cross. And at Calvary, every at Calvary is all about doctrines. You know that when Christ hang up there on Calvary. Okay, if you are looking at where you are looking right now, from your left, which to my right, that's history. That's the Old Testament. That's the history. Over that is the future. The New Testament transition to the future. Do you understand that? At Calvary itself, Christ the man will show you who he is, where he came from, the past, how you exist, the creation, all, and over into the future. That's Calvary. That's teaching. That's doctrine. You came to Christ on the day you came to Christ, you start to know doctrine. Because he is doctrine. Why? Hebrews chapter 6. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrines of Christ. You see that? It's the principles of the doctrines of Christ. The doctrines of Christ. Christ is doctrine right there. These are the principal doctrines laid right here. Let us go on unto perfection. Not laying, one again, the foundation of repentance from dead work. Two, of faith toward God. Three, of the doctrines of baptism. Four, of the laying on of hands. Five, of the resurrection of the dead. And six, eternal judgment. And seven, perfection. Do you see? Are you looking at it? In Christ, God there, is all these principles of the doctrines of Christ. Seven of them. So you tell me you don't need doctrine? Oh, the right spirit, then the right doctrine. How can you have the right spirit when you have false doctrine? Yeah. That's true, isn't it? So one pole of the ladder has doctrinal truth. The other side, what is it? The spirit of truth. The spirit of the life that you have. Your character. Huh? So if you have the right doctrine, this side of the pole will be the right spirit. Life of the spirit. And that's what holds the ladder together with the rung. And that's how you walk and climb on an upward path. Is that right? I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. That's it. You need to have this revelation to understand truth, spirit. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He just put, I'm the way, just put the word truth is. That's doctrine. I'm the life of the Spirit. You understand? And that's, I'm the way, that's the path. You go out in your ladder climb. It's all right there. Revelation, the importance of it. Alright, I just want to close right now. Don't go too much. All these verses, I think you all should know. One of the most important things is Malachi 3, 16 to 7. Just look at that. Malachi 3, 16. And 17. Then they that fear the Lord speak often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, in the day I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spare his son, own son that serve him. Ha ha! Wonderful, isn't it? Matthew 16, the last 5 years. For them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. As a man thinketh So is he. What you think, what you are. Right? You know that? You understand that? Yeah, some people are just love banana and they go banana. If they eat banana all the time, they can go banana. That's the same, you know. What you think you are is what you are. What you think is what you are. As a man thinker, so is he. You are what you think. What you think, you are. And whatever you want to explain that. So now now when you look at this word here, thought on his name. Now the thought on his name, and that day is you, and the next person, there shall be mine. In that day, when I make up my jewels, think upon the word, think upon the name of Christ. Just think about his name. When you get up in the morning, did you, Lord, good morning. So, well, that's fine. It's not alright to say, God, good morning. Lord, good morning. Wonderful day. And now, I'm not getting up in the morning, oh, grouchy, grouchy. The whole day will be grouchy to you because that's what you think of, right? So think upon the name of the Lord. He's your Savior. He's your guide. The whole day is going to be wonderful. No matter how terrible the day may appear to you, you walk down the road and you step on some dog poo or something. Never mind, Lord. Still a wonderful day. Hard, huh? What you are is what you are. You think what you are. And you know one thing and the other one in the book of Acts, that the apostles talk about the teaching those things which concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not why when we come together, after we meet, sit down a cup of coffee and talk about the Lord. You do that, don't you? Yes. You can always talk about the Lord in the food that you eat, whatever you are eating. Right. Lastly, Colossians 1, 26. 27. 20 years, sorry. Colossians. Colossians 1, 27, 28. To whom God would have known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Every man matured in Christ Jesus. Christ, whom we preach. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, Christ is not just the Savior, the anointed one. Christ, it also means the anointed one. That's why in the book of Revelation, John was told to take the book from the angel's hand and eat it. Huh? Sweet to your mouth. When it gets into your tummy, it's bitter. And we are experiencing it. How wonderful to know the Lord save us. Wonderful, so sweet. But when the word gets inside, this one you must do, this one you must not do, this is how the Holy Spirit guides, right? Isn't it? And as Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Christ. I'm no longer my own. I'm purchased with a price. I'm bought with a price. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Is that right? So remember this. You are purchased with a price. You are no longer your own. You are a prisoner. Right? And what is your prison? Where is your prison? Where is your prison? Your prison is in the wood. Yeah, you are in the wood. You are prison in the world. But you are free in the world to swim as a fish. To do whatever we want in the world. But once you are outside the word of God, you are no longer a prisoner. You can do whatever you want outside in the world. And you become a carnal man. Realize that? True or not? So, have you a revelation from God? Have you? What time are we in? What time are we in now? The Pharisee can discern the sky, the sign of the weather. In the evening when they say, and the horizon is red, tomorrow is fair weather. Huh? They can tell this. Isn't it? It's just on the weatherman, brother Twee in in Fiji, he looked at the sky and the wind blowing, oh, Brother God, it's going to be low pressure, this and that, it's going to rain, this and that. Right? But we are spiritual people. We should be able to discern the time of the sound of time that we're living in right now. What we see over in Europe, what we see about the economy structure, what we see about the political issue, we see all these things. And everything is going to burst. You know that?
Yes.
Look at the mad rush for gold. Because gold prices gone down. And today's people, they say it's good to buy gold because gold has value. Of course, the paper money has no value. It's just a piece of paper. They say it's $10. That's all that you get. And when you are in great tribulation, I don't know what $100 will buy you. A bowl of plain rice is probably what you get. Or maybe nothing. So we look at the sign of the time. Remember. Because if you have the Spirit of the Lord, you should be able to discern. And having the Spirit of the Lord, remember this. Keep on renewing your mind. Huh? So that you'll be completely transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, bless the word that you give. We thank you for truth, O Lord. Let your people, Father, not only here in this congregation here, but everywhere around the world, be watchful, prayerful, unto the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your word, and we pray that, Lord, every one of us will continue, Father, to have the revelation that flows from your word, from the oracles that I have given to us through Israel. We ask the Lord as your children, may you find us worthy, Lord, to continue to keep us in your hand, and the Lord as our mind, let us stay, having the mind of Christ, stay upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thinking upon those that great name, and the great salvation that is provided in that great name. And that He is one Lord that is our Savior and our Lord and our God. And knowing this to be true, Father, in the day when He comes, that we might be made up as a part of the many jewels in His crown. So, Father, we thank you for grace today, asking that you break down further the word of life to us all in Jesus' name. Amen.